Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audion Atom, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audion Atom is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audion Atom has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audion Atom to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audion Atom is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audion Atom, you can hear life again.
Up ahead on Nothing Major, we're going to talk Rome. We're going to recap the men's and women's finals there. We're also going to talk a little bit about the ATP schedule this week ahead of the French Open, plus some updates on our Aura draw and Stevie and Sam's doubles match against the 5-0, I'm not going to call them 5-0 team, maybe 4-5 team that they played 2 weeks ago that we will release soon. So that's all ahead on Nothing Major. Let's get it started. Welcome back to Nothing Major. I'm John Isner, hanging with Stevie Johnson today and Charlie Fox and his team at SIF Creative. And once again, on this Monday, we are without Sam Querrey and Jack Sock. Sam traveling back today, right now, from the beautiful Aminyara Resort in Turks and Caicos. And Jack is traveling as well, maybe from some pickleball event. And so anyways, once again, those guys are traveling today, and you are stuck with Stevie and myself. We apologize, but I think we did okay last week. Stevie, you ready to do this show? And also, like, we might need to start instituting some punishments for these guys. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, you know, there wasn't too much negative feedback after our solo performance last week. So, you know, we're just going to get better. You know, we've had a good week of practice. We're going to have some more reps under our belt, and we're gonna tackle the show, and I think we're gonna get most of our information correct today. Not all of it, but most of it. At least
if
some
we get
80%
correct, that's pretty good for us.
That's a passing grade.
Well, we have a lot to unpack today because it was a big week on tour with Rome just finishing up. A little side note before we continue, I'm a bit stuffed up today. So guys, bear with me. I got like this head cold thing going on. It's just my head. Like, I'm good. I'm healthy. I think it started with allergies. I'm glad Sam Querrey's not on this pod. He would be making fun of me. But anyways, just bear with me. I'm pretty congested. I don't feel that great. But you know what? I'm going to tough it out because that's what I do. Let's talk Rome, though. Just finished up. And let's start with the men. It was a blockbuster final. It was probably the final. Not probably. It was the final that everyone wanted to see. Number one, Jannik Sinner versus now new world number two, Carlos Alcaraz in the final. Alcaraz beats him 7-6, 6-1 in front of Sinner's home crowd. Huge result for Carlos, and also a very good result for Sinner, of course, being off for 3 months, making the finals of Rome ahead of the French Open. Overall thoughts, Stevie, from this match in the finals, do you think this was a product of lack of matches, or do you think this is just a matchup issue for Sinner against Alcaraz?
I think it's a little bit of both. Look, Sinner has been out for 3 months. We all know it. It's been well documented. He came back, did not miss a beat for the first 4 or 5 matches. You know, he's up until the final, he played one poor set against Tommy in the semis. But other than that, he pretty much ran through the draw. Beat Rude horribly, minus the first set, took care of Tommy Paul in the semis pretty routinely. Look, he came back, was not as sharp as he'd like to be, I'm sure, given, you know, the hiatus that he had from tournament play. But he came back, played great tennis. His movement was there. He still looks, after one or, you know, a two-week event here in Rome, like he is the number one player in the world. But ultimately, I do think there is a matchup problem against Carlos. He does not have a great record against him, especially last year. So it's something that he will figure out. And I think this is great for the sport to have these two guys back. You know, Carlos missed Madrid a couple weeks ago, to now have them back in the same tournament and, of course, meet in the final. So it's great for tennis to have the two arguably the best players in the game right now to play in a final like that leading up to the French Open. But for Sinner, ultimately, I think a great week, played great tennis up until the finals, and he will clean those things up. And he had set points in the final. I mean, he had four or five, now I can't remember, after watching it at on Alcaraz's serve late in the first set. And Carlos toughed it out, played a couple great points. And then in the second set, you can kind of feel maybe the wind in center sail just got a little less and less after losing that first. Could be a long week. It's hard. We all know after you come back from a long break, it's the body doesn't feel great after a few matches. So he'll have plenty of time to get ready for the French, but a great week for both guys and an important week for men's tennis leading up into the French Open to have this storyline and these two guys kind of still leading the charge.
Yeah, for sure. I think you said it perfectly there, Stevie. It was a good week for Sinner. I think there just aren't many players on tour that can match up with his ball striking and his movement on the court, but obviously Carlos can. And Carlos clearly right now might have that little bit of a mental edge against Sinner. He's got the better head-to-head against him. He's won. He hasn't lost to him since the 2003 China Open in Beijing. So it's been, you know, almost 2 years since he's even lost to Sinner. So Carlos seems to have that mental edge over him. And I think that's a matchup that, again, like what tennis fans got in the finals of Rome, they would love to see in the finals of Roland Garros again, to see these guys duke it out. And a 3 out of 5 set tilt in the finals of a Grand Slam would be huge. But back to Alcaraz, like, he has been so good at these big tournaments. He has won 5 of the 9 Master Series events. He's missing Canada, Cincy, Shanghai, and Paris. We know he's won 3 of the 4 Grand Slams, so he's almost at a career Grand Slam at... Is he still 21, Stevie?
I believe he's 22.
Okay, whatever. 21 or
22.
Either
way, it's still very impressive.
He's almost... You think? An Olympic silver medal. You know, he's 22 years old. Yes, it says right here. If I could just look at my notes, I would see that. But like his big game play is huge. And that's a problem for the rest of the tour. Would you put Alcaraz as the favorite to win the French Open title again this year like he did last year?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he would be a slight favorite over Sinner just based on the clay results this season. I know Sinner hasn't played at all in his one tournament on the clay this year. He made finals in Rome. But Alcaraz has a Monte Carlo title, a Barcelona final, a Rome title. Like, he's going to be feeling fine. He's going to be comfortable there. He's won in Paris. So I think he would be a slight favorite, if not maybe, I don't know, or even money for both of those guys, because, you know, I assume Sinner will get to the finals. Just watching him in Rome play these matches, each one he got better and better. And watching the final yesterday against Alcaraz, I mean, the way he strikes the backhand from deep into the court and the way he can create power with his forehand, you know, he was hitting some inside-out forehands that were absolutely nuked. And it's amazing to watch him strike a tennis ball with how hard he can hit it and with the accuracy he can hit it. It's truly remarkable. So these two guys are by far and away the favorites. And then I think it just depends on maybe how the draw shakes out. These guys are going to be on opposite sides, which is great for the tournament. You don't have to worry about them playing in a semis or something before that. So I just think it's going to be a great French Open. And I would say Alcaraz is a slight favorite just based on matches. And he's won the last 4 or 5 matches over Sinner in the last 18 months.
All right, real quick. If you can have Sinner and Alcaraz or the field for the French Open? Who are you taking?
I'll take Sinner, Alcaraz.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, there's nobody that's done enough for me outside of Novak, right? Unless he can figure it out. I mean, he won the Olympics last year, right? Like, I'm just saying, like, he has the ability to do that. He hasn't shown it this season, but he has the ability. And Zverev is struggling at the moment, and he's taken a wild card into Hamburg this week. So I don't know the last time he's actually played a tournament before a slam. So I think he's trying to find some stuff in his game. So I would take those two guys over the field right now for sure.
Yep, and we will talk about Novak in particular in just a little bit towards the middle part of this show. But right now, Stevie, let's move on to the women's final. And Jasmine Paolini, in front of her home crowd, takes out Coco Gauff in the finals pretty easily, 6-4, 6-2. Do you think this was this a product of Coco maybe being a little worn out, having made the very, very end of Madrid, losing in the finals there? Or is just Paolini just too good and too inspired in front of her home crowd?
Yeah, same thing as the men's final. I think it can be a little bit of both. I think Coco kind of ran out of steam a little bit towards the end of that. But for her, an incredible month of tennis to make back-to-back finals in these big events. Her confidence was maybe not as high as she wanted it to be in the beginning of the year. She struggled in the Middle East, not winning too many matches, kind of leading up to the Indian Wells Miami swing. So for her, an impressive month, because now she has her confidence back. She can go into the French Open feeling like she can win the tournament. And then for Paolini, an incredible result at 29. You know, her career took, you know, at 28 last year, she really had her breakout year. She made finals of French, finals of Wimby. I remember actually sharing a court with her in Miami, one of the first years at Hard Rock. For some reason, you know, we had four to a court for like a warm-up, and it was me with whoever, and we were splitting, like men and women on the same court, which doesn't happen too often. And this, you know, this was, you know, when she was 70, 80 in the world, and her smile, her energy was infectious. She always seems to have a great attitude out there, and she is a competitor. Doesn't matter that she's a bit smaller in stature, but her competitive nature, her ability to go out there, and she used that home crowd phenomenally. And sometimes that can be, that can go both ways on us. We know sometimes you let a home crowd down, it really hurts you. It kind of brings your game down and makes you nervous, but the crowd brought her up. She wins a title, her biggest one of her career so far. But I think the most impressive thing for her was after winning a title on Saturday night and then coming back and winning the doubles on Sunday. Like, there would have been almost no chance I would have been able to walk straight after winning a Masters series if I had to go back out and play the doubles final the next day. Like, good effort for her. Really cool to win both, especially in your home country. That's got to be an incredible feeling. I know, you know, John's, your only Masters series was in Miami, so it's cool to win it in your home country. So it must be an incredible feeling to have that crowd support behind her, because they were fully behind her.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the crowd support. I mean, Sinner and Paolini, they, as you mentioned, they had, the crowds were fantastic. I think especially for Sinner after he won in the semifinals, it felt like a WWE match out there. After he shook hands in the semifinals, the announcer goes, and the winner, or, you know, Italian, Yannick, and the whole rest of the crowd goes, Sinner. It was just awesome to see. It's so good to have these two players. It's great to have Sinner back, of course, you know, being gone for 3 months, but have Paolini doing this at 29 years old and backing up her results from last year, making two slam finals, like virtually out of nowhere. She was probably a candidate this year for a lot of players, or sorry, not for a lot of pundits and fans thinking that she would sort of regress this year, but she hasn't, and she's playing with a lot of confidence. And, you know, I think Paolini would be one of the four favorites going into the French Open with Sabalenka, of course, Coco, Iga. She's not playing her best, but you can't discount her at that tournament. It may be Paolini. So there's a lot of intrigue on the women's side. Let's just put a bow on this real quick. With Coco Gauff, do you think she's happy with her results these last 2 weeks? Obviously, she wasn't able to get over the final hurdle in Madrid and Rome. But making the finals and playing all these matches, I got to imagine she's pretty happy with the results and she's played a lot of matches. So now it's just about resting up her body and just getting herself mentally prepared as she takes on Roland Garros in a week or so.
Yeah, if you are looking at this from a big picture, you know, I would say everybody maybe but her right now, like around her, is thinking what a great couple tournaments this has been to make the final, to get back on track, to win a lot of matches, to give yourself a chance to compete for a title. She might still be feeling a little bit of annoyance that she hasn't, you know, that she lost both finals, which is, as a competitor, you would expect nothing less. But in the big picture, to where her year started, to where it's going now, she has really turned it around, playing some great tennis. But I think going into the French Open for the women's draw, I think the 1 through 4 is a little concerned that Iga will be the 5th seed in Roland Garros. It doesn't matter that she hasn't had the best year. I don't think anybody really wants to play her in the quarterfinals. If you're 1 through 4, you are hoping you are on the other side. You are completely on just opposite sides of the draw because that's a quarterfinal you do not want to see. I mean, what do you think about that?
Oh, no, for sure. Do you remember years ago when Djokovic and Nadal, didn't they play in the quarterfinals?
Yep.
At the French Open? Like, it was, I forget
which year, but I believe it was.
I think it was the pandemic year, if I remember. Maybe I'm wrong. But they definitely played in the quarterfinals 1 year, and that was a shame for both players to have those two guys match up in the quarters. But that could happen with Iga. Like, she could potentially, as we know, she could play any one of the top four. Sabalenka could be Coco. Anyone. So the top four, obviously you want to take care of business. Just getting to the quarterfinals is awesome, right? So you're not really thinking that far ahead. But it would be nice if Iga was not in your, I guess, big section of the draw. But that's enough of Rome. Congrats to Carlos. It was 2022. It was not the pandemic year. I was 1 year off.
Look, we said we're going to get 80% right.
Exactly right, Stevie. So that's enough for Rome. Congrats to Alcaraz and Paolini. They played just amazing, inspired tennis all week. Let's move on to this week on the ATP Tour, and let's talk about Geneva. We spoke about Taylor Fritz, how he lost early in Rome. Now, he might be playing Geneva, certainly, and sure enough, he is, Also, Novak Djokovic is playing Geneva. What do you think about that? I honestly thought he might, of course I got this wrong, I thought he might skip Roland Garros altogether after not playing Rome, but clearly he's focused on Roland Garros. He thinks he can do some damage there. But Fritz and Djokovic headline Geneva. What do you think Djokovic is trying to get out of this tournament before he moves on to Paris, Stevie?
He's just trying to find some, it's crazy to say, but try and find some confidence, try and find some rhythm, try and find some match toughness, which is absolutely insane when I say that out loud. But Geneva's a great place to do that. It's a quiet venue. It's a comfortable place. It's very easy to get to, you know, all things considered. But he's just trying to win some matches. You know, I don't know if he's going to win this tournament. I don't know if he's going to make it to the semis, but he's trying to find something in his game. And it will be a little different, obviously, now with the news that he is no longer working with Murray, which we all thought was going to happen at some point. I was under the assumption that it was just going to happen after Wimbledon because of obvious reasons with Andy, you know, being, you know, there and in his box and having that crowd support. But it's just I don't know anymore with Novak. I really don't, because I still feel like his tennis is good, but it's just not at the level that it has been in years past. And I don't know if that's the competitive drive to win these tournaments. I just don't know what is getting him up and getting him to compete to get better each and every day anymore.
Well, I think that's what makes Novak so great. No one knows. And he always is going to make the best decision for himself. You don't become the greatest player of all time by listening to everyone else, by listening to the peanut gallery. He knows what's best for him. I think it was awesome that him and Murray partnered up. I think that was great for them too. They have a great friendship. I think that was great for the game. It's not happening anymore. All right, that's it. I know they're still amazing friends, but Novak knows what is best for him. He's still focused on what he wants to accomplish, which is another Grand Slam. You know, I again, we spoke of that. I think it's going to happen at Wimbledon or the US Open is his best chance. But he wants to go out there and still compete at these big tournaments. So him playing Geneva and then, of course, playing the French Open the next week is awesome for the game. That he is still that motivated at 38 years old and 24 Grand Slams, still wanting to, you know, lay it on the line each and every week like he's doing this week in Geneva, the week before Slam. It's pretty crazy that he's doing that. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch. Fritz needs some matches as well. That could be a great final. We'll see. I think Novak just wants to get maybe a few matches, kind of feel his game a little bit. He certainly doesn't. If he doesn't win this tournament, he's not going to lose sleep over it. He's going to want to, you know, focus on the French Open. So if he can get a few matches and get his body feeling right in that regard, he should be in pretty good shape heading into the French Open. Also on the men's side is Hamburg, which we're always accustomed to Hamburg being the 500 on clay after Wimbledon. And we were in our group text. We weren't even aware that it was the week before the French Open, and it's still a 500. They didn't lose their 500 sanction, but this is the first time I think ever there's been a 500 the week before a Grand Slam, which is pretty crazy. So it's a good opportunity for a lot of players. Stevie, you spoke on it. Let's talk about Zverev a little bit. When's the last time he's taken a week off? I mean, has he? He's played Monte Carlo, Munich, Madrid, Rome.
Yeah. No. I mean, this is an interesting one. If it wasn't in Hamburg, I don't think he is playing it. You know, if it was somewhere else, right? But this kind of screams to me that he wants just matches. He is somebody that loves rhythm, that needs it, loves to play matches. Even at tournaments, you know, you'd go to the slams, you know, the week off, he's still practicing 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. He's somebody that needs those rhythms, needs those reps, and he's still dealing with some closing issues in his own matches. I mean, in the quarters of Rome, I mean, he's serving 6-5, 40 love in the first against Musetti, loses the set and a breaker, then loses 6-4 in the second. So he's still just trying to find something in his game, which is sometimes it's actually nice to see that, you know, even the best players in the world are human, that they do have, you know, some faults and some issues closing out matches, because that makes, you know, us feel a little bit better about our own games when we were playing. But he's just trying to find matches. He's very comfortable in Hamburg. He's going to be dialed in there. I would assume he's going to kind of get through the first few matches. He's got a pretty decent draw kind of going forward. He just wants to get matches. And, you know, for him, he just needs to keep playing and kind of keep putting his foot forward, because he is getting to those points where he can win. He's just not shutting the door.
Yeah. I mean, you got to imagine his appearance fee is pretty nice with,
correct,
with before the tournament, Sinner, Tommy Paul, Musetti, and Runa all pulled out. So yep, there were some funds available, you would have to imagine, to attract a top player. You might as well attract the hometown number one player from Germany, Zverev. But I'm a little surprised to see him playing this week. He does like to hit and play a lot. I grew up in, when I was training in Tampa, Florida at Saddlebrook Resort, Sasha was 13, 14, 15 years old, practicing with us. And you knew he was going to be an incredible player, but he was on the court 5-6 hours a day. I mean, he's a court rat. He loves like that. It just seems to me that's how he gets his confidence, from striking balls on the court, the practice court, getting a lot of matches. And he's certainly not feeling too good about his game right now, because as you mentioned, Stevie, not being able to slam the door in that first set, up 6-5, 40 love serving. I mean, he's 99% to close the door on Musetti there in that first. That doesn't mean he's going to win the match, but wasn't able to do it. Loses to Musetti in Rome in the quarterfinals, but he's playing Hamburg. I don't know. It's an interesting decision for me. He's played a lot of tournaments. It's not necessarily the physical toll. It's the mental toll. He hasn't had that much time off mentally before the French Open, where, as we know, he made the finals last year. So we'll see how that goes for Sasha. Tommy Paul withdrew, making the semifinals of Rome. So he's in a good spot ahead of the French Open. Let's talk real quick.
Yeah, he had to go home to get his truck back.
That's what I'm saying. He might have gone home to go to the tow shop to get his truck back. Can we talk about Tommy still making car payments, and why is it not on automatic payment? What's going on there?
There's a couple of questionable decisions there. We'll have to talk to Tommy about his financial planning here. That seems like a bit of a miss for somebody where he's at in the world to not either have automatic payments on or whatever.
Just
but
paid off.
the video of him posting it, outside of his house, the guy come backing in, picked it up on the back wheels and just drove off with it. I was having a great laugh. Texted Tommy about it, and he's just kind of laughing. But it's classic Tommy. Like, he's no sweat, no stress. He's just like, oh yeah, I'll just have my trainer go down there and just pay the guy, and we'll just get it back. My bad. Like, I missed a couple payments. Can happen
it
to anybody.
It is classic Tommy.
It's classic Tommy, but.
I wonder if he still like pay stuff with like check and stamp, envelope, Like, I actually still pay
do.
A lot of.
I know you do.
I do, not all of them. When I was in Tampa, I paid every single one of my bills with a physical check, envelope, and a stamp. I love doing that. maybe Tommy's one of those guys. Stevie, I'm actually gonna FaceTime him.
Do it
right now.
Let's see
live
it.
On the pod. It's what? It's like 3 in the afternoon over there.
Yeah.
4 in the afternoon.
He's probably just cruising.
Probably in Paris, chilling.
So yeah.
Let's see if he answers.
He's not playing this week.
Look at this. Bot. Hey, Bot, we got you on the pod right now. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Wow.
Look at this.
Hey, what's up, big fella?
What's going on?
Thanks for answering.
Of course, man.
Dude, we just wanted real quick about the toe job heard all around the world. Your truck's back, right?
We got it back.
All right.
We got it back. Franco went and picked it up. I mean, if y'all want the full story.
Well, by the way, thanks for answering. This is fantastic. It's just Stevie and I on the pod today. Sam and Jack are, who knows what they're doing. Okay, so my question is, why don't you have automatic payments on? And why do you still car? What happened? Your card got fraud or something?
No. I switched over to Goldman Sachs, and I didn't set up the auto payment, and I was getting a bunch of calls from Ford. and I missed like 6 calls from them, and I answered one, and they were like, "Oh, like we have a promotion available. You can get like the new year of your truck if you trade in yours." And I was like, "Oh, I'm not interested." And then I kept getting like a million calls. I thought they were trying to like get me to do this promotion, but really they were just trying to get payments. And I'm talking to Franco, and Franco's like, "Oh, like, check if you have any packages at your house. I'll go pick them up." And I check the cameras. There's no package and no truck.
Oh, dude, what time did it get towed? Is that like 5 in the morning? It was still dark outside.
No, it was midnight.
Oh,
I couldn't believe it. So sneaky, right?
That's
so
good effort.
Sneaky, dude. All right, well, your truck's back. Have you completed the payments that were delinquent?
Yeah, I mean, I only had like $800 or $900 left to pay on the car. I owned like 99% of the car.
Dude, we love
You're
that story. We were just talking about you and your good run at Rome, but most importantly, this story with your truck getting repoed is incredible.
It's amazing how many people are online now thinking that like I have like a gambling problem or something, and I actually like don't have money to pay off my truck.
Tommy Paul, one of us. That's what he is. He's one of us. All right, dude.
Absolutely.
Anyways, that's it. All right. Where are you in Paris? Getting ready?
Yeah, I'm just on the table right now getting treatment in Paris. There. Right. One here.
Perfect. All right. Good luck, TP. Thanks for answering.
Thanks, man.
All right. See you, dude.
No problem.
All right. See you, buddy. That was fantastic.
What a legend.
Great. Well, Tommy Paul answered a cold FaceTime. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. I think we tried Francis one time. He didn't
answer. We tried
them
all early.
If anyone was going to answer, it's Tommy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So he's very reliable in that regard. So, all right. Well, we heard what happened. He only had about $800 or $900 dollars left to pay off his car. Wasn't able to do it. They towed it away, and it cost him $1,000 to get it back. That's what he said. So, anyway, thank you, Tommy, for answering and indulging us. Stevie, I want to talk right now, move on to our next segment, about the Aura Draw, which which we've put out, and the first round voting has been completed.
Yes.
Right? It's been 24 yep. hours. Yeah, it's been yep. completed.
We're in the quarters today, baby.
We're in the quarters. And the quarterfinal lineup's huge. It's just titans of the game. But we have a bone to pick with some of our fans. And we're talking aura. We thought, truthfully, you and I both thought that Safin would take out Sampras and Guga would take out Becker.
Yep.
Not the case. I just think when you talk about aura, I thought potentially Safin and Guga would go really far.
I thought Big Hitton was Jim Thomas was going to make an upset.
We didn't think Jim Thomas, he got a wild card. He wrote me a nice email to the tournament director to get a wild card. Didn't see him taking out Rafter. That wasn't the case. But anyways, we have McEnroe versus Connors, the aura draw. Remember, guys, this is not who was the best player. Who was your favorite player? This is who has the most aura. McEnroe, Connors, Sampras versus Rafter, Borg versus Becker, Yannick Noah versus Andre Agassi is the quarterfinal lineup. So it's a good quarterfinal lineup. I think we were just a little perplexed that Guga and Safin did not advance. What do you think?
Yeah, I just think they went off tennis acumen over, off-court visibility and aura. But look, the people have spoken. I feel like they got the hottie draw right earlier this year. So ultimately, I think we're going to get to a McEnroe-Borg final, if I'm not mistaken. So that's kind of where my head's leaning at in the next couple of days. So I'm excited. These guys all, an incredible era of tennis, may have had more fun off the court than on the court. And just a great era of tennis and great personality.
I think it's going to be McEnroe-Agassi, the 1 and 2 seeds. But we'll see. But anyways, head to our Instagram at Nothing Major Show and vote on the matchups each day in our stories. That's where you vote. Go to our Instagram stories and you can vote that way. Yeah, quarters is up and running right now, so go ahead and vote for that. The semis is on Tuesday and the finals is on Wednesday, and we will crown our champion, I think, I'm assuming, on the Friday show. So we'll see what happens. We're having a lot of fun with this. Continue to participate. We enjoy you guys being a part of this. Are we going to give out we gave Matteo Berrettini a like $5 trophy and a $15 Olive Garden gift card. I don't think we're going to be.
I think this one's going to be a little harder to track down, but.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll come up with something. Hopefully it's somebody that we have some rapport with that we can get to, and we'll find this to be enjoyable.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're almost done with this Monday show. I want to remind our fans that there will be no Monday show the next 2 weeks because we are going to continue what we started at the Australian Open with something major. So we are going to be filming every other day during the course of the French Open. And our first day, correct me if I'm wrong, Stevie, our first day is going to be the first Tuesday of the French Open. That's right. I know it's a Sunday start. I know it's a Sunday start, but we're going to start on Tuesday. And Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, whatever, right?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We got you boys are boots on the ground there, so it's going to be a little different. We'll have to really organize some time.
We will figure it out. Yeah, we are committed to doing something major, y'all, like we did the Australian Open, which we thought everyone enjoyed, and we're going to pull that off at the French Open this year. So, again, no Monday show the next 2 weeks. Okay, Stevie, next order of business is this highly anticipated doubles match with you and Sam Querrey against the 4-5/5-0 level players, which has been completed, and that will be uploaded on our YouTube page in its entirety on Wednesday. So I hope you guys tune into that on our YouTube. It's going to be the first time I'm going to be seeing it as well. So I'm interested to see if you guys took the dub, Stevie.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had some fun. The guys were great. We had a good time. There was a lot of lowlights in there. Sam and I, we felt like we should be better just in tennis-wise. Like there was a lot of rust on our coming off our rackets. And it was kind of, we laughed because we used to do this for a living and used to be pretty good at it. And there was just some things that you just don't do anymore. Talking about our exhibition a couple weeks ago, a couple serves that just went crazy sideways that you're just not used to. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoy getting out there. That part of the tennis is still a lot of fun to me because we get to go out there and have some laughs. Sam and I can kind of go off one another. But the guys were great. We filmed it. It's done. Let's hope the team cut out a lot of lowlights because nobody wants to watch too much poor tennis from the two of us.
We'll be tuned in, Stevie. So that's it. So that's up on our YouTube. I can't wait to watch it as well. We'll see. We know our editing team is very special. So they're going to make you guys look good, Stevie. So no worries on your end. And that's almost a wrap for our show. We're going to end today's pod on a very somber note. And I'm going to give the floor to Stevie in a little bit, being a lot more local than I am with what happened. About 2 weeks ago, a great standout tennis player, Bron Levy, a high school senior who was committed to the University of Virginia to go play tennis on their team, was tragically struck and killed as a pedestrian by a drunk driver. This happened on May 4th, and it hit the tennis community really hard. I did not know Bron. I saw the post and the outpouring of love and support that this kid had, and how everyone spoke about how much of a model citizen he was and how great his family was, and he was taken from them and from this world far too soon. So Stevie, you have a bit of a personal connection, I think, with him and his family. So I want to give you the floor. And again, us at the podcast, we just want to send our condolences to their family and his loved ones. It's a horrible situation, and one that we can't truly process, having kids ourselves, taken way too soon. So Stevie, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just tragic. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. You know, as an 18-year-old kid, just about to graduate high school, go off to Virginia, it's really hard to fathom, as John just said, especially being with kids and knowing the family decently well. His dad is a doctor at the UCLA. He's one of the head pediatric cardiologists, if not in America. He is an absolute stud of a doctor. And we had some health issues with our eldest, Emma, early in her life. And it wasn't heart related, but he was the head doctor at UCLA where Emma was being was being held and being looked at. And the way he looked after myself, my wife, the overall well-being of my daughter, which he had, you know, he was never hands-on with, you know, getting things set up and making our lives a little less stressful in a situation where, you know, as new parents for Kendall and myself, it was high stress, especially during COVID. You know, there's only one parent in, you know, he would walk me in and out of the hospital, kind of calm me down, just, you know, just give us that reassuring that everything is going to be okay. And it's even harder to know that, you know, Bron is not going to be there with him to go off to Virginia to see him grow up and to be the man that he was going to be. You know, I was at his paddle out in Manhattan Beach last weekend, and thousands of people were there. It was, you know, all things considered, a beautiful ceremony for an incredibly sad moment. And a good friend of all of ours, Bradley Klon, is somebody who lived with the family for years. So he is extremely close with him, and I've been in touch with him quite a lot over the last couple of weeks. And just the outpouring of love that this kid brought to so many people, it's hard to put into words what it means to see him not be here any longer and to have that light in everyone's world. And, you know, just don't take any day for granted. You know, ultimately, I know this is kind of a sad way to end the podcast, but, you know, go hug your parents, your kids, your loved ones. You know, this is something not to take for granted. And he will be missed. The tennis community has been, you know, rocked over this the last couple of weeks. So our condolences to them, to his family, to everybody who is dealing with, you know, with grief in this situation. So I can't thank his parents and his dad enough for the help that he gave us back in the day, a few years back. And, you know, just hearing the kids talk about Bron and the way he was, it just makes it even that much more tragic to see what a great person he was. And so just a tough way to end.
Yeah, it's a big loss for our, you know, our tight-knit tennis community. So our condolences go out to his family and his loved ones. And that's it for this Monday episode. Again, sorry to end on such a somber note, but we thought it was necessary to talk about how much of an amazing kid Bron was. And that's it. We will see you guys on Friday. And don't forget, everyone, to tune in to our YouTube page at Nothing Major Show on our YouTube page on Wednesday to see the results of Stevie and Sam's big, huge, monumental double.